Our greatest need is to be right with God. And that rightness, righteousness, is His gift to all who will believe. But that's only the beginning. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. There are many gifts that come with the new birth. And as thankful as we are for our salvation, we should also unwrap the other presents that God wants to give us. We're looking at three of those suggested in Hebrews 10. We talked about the first gift yesterday. In today's episode, we'll cover all three. Here's Jim reading Hebrews 10:18.
Now, where there is forgiveness of these what? Well, these sins and these lawless deeds that I have done and do. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Period. One sin forever settled. And since through that one offering for sin, God totally, completely satisfied His holy, righteous law, satisfied His will and His perfection, satisfied His justice, awakened and released His mercy to those who would simply believe, since that's true, don't need another offering. So Jesus doesn't have to die again. Neither do I have to die. I love it when you're thinking that way. I can smell the wood burning. I can tell you're thinking, I'm not sure about that. Well, be sure, because you're debating, not Jim Custer, you're debating the Holy Spirit Himself, who's the ultimate offer of not only that passage in Jeremiah, but its inclusion here in this passage. Now, friends, that's what we mean when we say we believe in the security of the believer. The believer is secure because he believes. Believes what? What God has done. Because he receives. Receives what? The one who is the Savior. Sometimes we make salvation, and we even illustrate it this way, as a separate package. Salvation doesn't exist outside the Savior. But when you receive the Savior as your Savior, you get all the benefits of the salvation He provided. And part of those benefits is the entrance of the Holy Spirit of God Himself living in your life and my life, teaching us His will, guiding us, and enabling us to follow and obey what gives God pleasure. That's an amazing passage. Now we're to the heart of our text. I'm going to read the whole part, and we'll discuss it. Verse 19, look, therefore, since this is true, therefore, based upon this conclusion, therefore, based upon this argument, therefore, based upon what God has done, therefore, based upon that, therefore, brothers, that is those who have made commitment to Jesus Christ through faith, therefore, brothers, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He has inaugurated for us through the curtain that is His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, there are two or three incredible gifts. These are immediate gifts that come with the salvation experience. The first one is, we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus. What's that mean? That means nothing can separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Nothing. where the Old Testament high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was celebrated, the Ark of the Covenant, where he can only do that once a year and he had to take two sacrifices with him, where that's all he could do, and where none of the other priests and none of the people could ever enter into the Holy of Holies, where God manifests his presence. I, Jim Custer, a sinner saved by grace, have immediately full access to the throne of God in heaven. On what basis? The blood of Jesus Christ. His blood is my argument. His blood is my ticket. Years ago, I was down in Lazarus waiting for Mr. Wren. How many remember Bob Wren? Remember Bob Wren? I was waiting on Mr. Wren, and I was walking around the men's store looking at some ties and things like that. He was busy with business. And somebody came over to help me. And I asked questions about this and this and this. And when it became obvious that I was a hick from the sticks, didn't know nothing about fashion and all that, I was kind of getting the poo-poo. You know what that is? You know, that's West Virginia for being put down. I was getting poo-pooed. And this dear person didn't see or hear Mr. Wren, who's vice president of the Lazarus Corporation. He's as close to the top as you can get without nosebleed. Mr. Wren had walked around and was coming behind this attendant. And he said, "Why, Jim, good to see you." And the attendant turned around, looked, and went absolute gray. Absolutely blanched gray as it became clear to him that this hick had a friend. And the friend owned the shop. That's what happens in heaven. When the devil points out and says, "That Jim Custer has no right to be here," Jesus just clears his throat, and suddenly Satan makes the connection. "Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. You're related?" "Yep, he's my brother." "Oh, Mr. Custer, it's nice to see you today," is the devil's response. And don't laugh that off. Some of us here have difficulty with boldness, with confidence, entering the very presence of a thrice holy God. We are so aware of our own frailties. We're so aware of our inconsistencies. We're so aware of our imperfections. And we forget that our access there is based upon relationship. We belong to the one who's sitting right there at the right side of the Father. We are purchased through the blood that's memorialized in the scars in his hand and the wound in his side. You're always welcome here, Jesus is saying. Come boldly. Don't sneak in the side door, and don't let the devil beat you to a pulp and convince you that you got no right to be there. You've got every right in the universe to be there. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, go boldly on the basis of the blood, on the basis of the life, on the basis of what Jesus did for you and what the Spirit of God did to you and what the Father has extended and made you heir of. That's the first thing. Look at number two. We have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Christ by the new. That word means freshly slain. It's the idea of fresh, not new versus old, but it's fresh. By the freshly slain and living way that he has inaugurated for us through the curtain that is his flesh. What's that talking about? That's saying that the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross of Calvary is always fresh. Always fresh. Always. fresh. And the curtain there is the picture of the separation curtain in between the Holy of Holies and the holy place in the temple, in the tabernacle, that which kept everybody out but the high priest, you know, that curtain. Well, Jesus interposed his flesh. The God who, through the Shekinah glory, manifested himself in the Holy of Holies back in the good days of the temple and the tabernacle, that God, that one who manifested himself through the Shekinah glory, put on flesh. And in that flesh, he provided the perfect atonement, forgiveness for your sin and my sin. He became our substitute. That's what that's saying. It's always fresh. And the word living there, we come by the fresh and living way, means that he who died in his flesh for us rose victoriously, was resurrected in that flesh, and he will never die again. The benefits of his incarnation and his crucifixion are eternal. You don't ever have to worry about, let's see, has my pass to heaven, has the due date done? Has my qualification to come to heaven expired? No. Never. That's what that's talking about. It's talking about the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. He's living. He's there to reinforce. He's there to guarantee. He's there to represent. Sometime we need to talk about what a priest does. Most of us, well, many of us, Catholic and Protestant and Anabaptist, have lost the significance of what the priest means in the scripture, what the priest does. It's not just that the priest gets to go and have conversations with God. You remember the high priest in the Old Testament? He had a tablet on his chest. And what was on that tablet? 12 stones. What were those 12 stones?
12 tribes.
That's exactly right. Those 12 stones represented the 12 tribes of Israel. It meant that in his person, he personified, he represented, he embodied the corporate group who were included in the covenant God made. Jesus, where's your name? He knows you personally, individually, completely, perfectly. And by the way, that's true whether you're a believer or not. So we're invited into the Holy of Holies of heaven. How much time have you spent there today? I remember being invited to see a very prominent person. Names are not important. And I remember Tracy made me brush my teeth twice. She made sure I was shaved. My suit was pressed. I mean, if a fly had landed on my pants, the crease would have cut him in half. I was decked out. And I got down to the office way, way, way ahead of time and sat there very patiently waiting to see this very prominent person. And as I was sitting there thinking about all that had transpired and all this, it began to dawn on me that this friend was just another human. And I started thinking, sitting in the office, I mean, talk about accoutrements of power. Accoutrements of success. I was surrounded by them. I mean, it was pretty posh. And I felt a little uncomfortable, didn't feel like I belonged there. Point is, as I was sitting there, I was thinking, who would be the most important person I've ever met? And I'm ashamed to tell you, it took me 10 minutes before I came to Jesus. Now, I spent hours anticipating that meeting, what I would say, how I would behave. And the King of Kings, Lord of Glory, invites me to drop in any time. Always time for a cup of coffee, Jim. And don't just sneak in the back door. You belong here. Come in with confidence. Don't come in with braggiosio. But you belong here, Jim. I want to see you. Your concerns are important to me. I very much desire your fellowship. So how much time have you spent with the most important person in the universe today? Now hang on to that. It's going to get a little tighter before we're done, but I'll go quickly, okay? And we got three things. We got first the access where we go boldly on the basis of the blood. Secondly, we have a pass that takes us through the veil into the very holy of holies, and that access is always valid, always valid. Jesus never sleeps. He never takes a nap. He never blinks. He is there forever, all the time, anytime, and we are welcome. Number three, look at number three. It says, since we have a great high priest over the house of God. Remember what I just said about the priests? That's what this is about. See that household of God business over the house of God? Having a great high priest over the house of God means that Jesus is the main guy. He's the main guy in the household of God. The household of God is the family of people who have believed. Red and yellow, black and white, young, old, most of them are dead, some of them are just being born. That whole family of God, all the people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ are part of the household. And who is the one who embodies all that? Who is the one who embraces all of that? Who is the one who's the core, the heart, the administrator of that whole house? Jesus. The point that the author's making here is the one I just made, that heaven is not a strange place for us. It's our home. That's where we belong. That's where we're headed. Forever and ever, that will be our home point, our home basis. And I can even make the point that the New Jerusalem is specially created for us. And that's some palace. That's some palace. And I can make the point that every angel God ever created, and there are millions, perhaps billions of them, the first assignment on his agenda every day is to watch out for you. That's what it says. You're looking at me like you don't believe. Turn back to chapter 1. Look at it. Verse 14. He's asking the question, who are angels? Who are the angels? Look at verse 14. Are they not all ministering servants sent out to serve those who are going to inherit salvation? That's you, Christian friend. That's me. So heaven is not only our home, will be our home forever. It's the residence of King Jesus. And there's no angel or archangel in heaven that has a superior position in the heart and mind of our Savior Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit than you. You. Now that brings us to an interesting part of this whole passage. There are our privileges, access to heaven, immediate, constant, no time out, no vacation. way purchased for us, provided for us by the incarnation of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. All that stands between us, God, absolutely done away and forgiven in the one sacrifice that's sufficient for all. And Jesus himself is there. Jesus himself longs for your fellowship, my fellowship. Those are the three major gifts that the author's thinking about. Now look at what God expects of us. Let us, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and bodies washed in pure water. What's that saying? What's that saying? I have been trying for 6-8 weeks now to, in my heart and mind, understand what does God want of Jim Custer? What's the number one thing? There it is. What does God want? What does he want? He wants me. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. He's not nearly as interested that I go do something for him as he is that I come to him. My wife seems to operate that same way. And since I live with me, I have no understanding of what basis she derives that, but she does. What do you want, Tracy? Just come be with me. What do you want, Tracy? Well, just listen to me when I talk. Not very good at that. I like to fix it if I can. She didn't want it fixed. Our purposes in the church have often been distorted. We immediately ask, what does God expect of the Christian? And we give you a whole list of assignments. Things to do, places to go, tasks to accomplish. And many of them are fantastic. Don't misunderstand me. They are worthy causes. But what's number one? Be with me, Jim. Be with me. Draw nigh to him. That's number one. Don't you find that interesting?
The phrase, a new and living way, has jumped out at me from our conversation about Hebrews 10. And the author's wording takes us back to Jesus' powerful statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We talked about gifts on top of the greatest gift today. The sermon is called Where Forgiveness Rules. You can get a CD containing the complete message for your gift of $7 or more. Our new series is God's Ultimatum, Volume 2. All 20 sermons can be yours on CD for an offering of $69 or more. Right Start Ministries is basically you. Your involvement in this work matters. Without prayer support, we wouldn't have lasted a week on the air, and we're at well over 55 years now. And your financial support is essential too, and encouraging. So thank you for considering a gift. Please call us at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. Or visit our website, where we've stocked the virtual shelves with a lot of audio resources for you. Not for sale, for free. You can play radio programs there, play or even download the complete sermons. Link to the podcast on the Apple platform, email us, and of course you can give to the ministry on the site, rightstartradio.org. And we won't send you spam if you do contact us, rightstartradio.org. Or you can mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. With any really life-changing gift, there come responsibilities. Jim will talk more about the now what's on tomorrow's show. Please come by again on Wednesday for the next Right Start.